All right, so we're in this series called Living Every Season Fully. And last week we looked at the life of Caleb, and we're going to go a little deeper this week, okay? So let's turn to Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15. I'll read that for us. So it says, then the people of Judah, okay, Joshua 14, verse 6. I'm reading from the ESV. It says, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Verse 8, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. Okay, and that's our theme verse. Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he has said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. And he says, I am as still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Okay, and we talked about that last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Verse 13, then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Okay, and we'll stop there. All right? And so the key verses that we're going to focus on are verses 7 through 8. It says, I brought him word as it was in my heart, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. Okay? We're going to focus on that today. Okay? So 2 weeks ago, I went over the whole thing, but I felt I wanted to go a little deeper there. Okay? And so the theme is, yet I wholly follow the Lord. And I drew this last time, why this is important, okay? And this is important. I'm going to use this board a lot today, guys, okay? So if you can, turn your chairs. This is bad. The Christian life can be thought of as a journey, right? And just for, oh my goodness, this is me too. Okay, thank you. See if this works. Hey, here we go. Okay? And we're going to look at the Christian life as a journey, okay? And we talked about the fact that, you know, we're moving, and there, sometimes the Christian life is easy and it's smooth, but then there are these points where it becomes an uphill climb, okay? And this is where the spirit that is within us, or that was within Caleb, showed up. It was shown to be different than the spirit of the other people, okay? So we talked about how there are going to be people who wholly follow the Lord, and they're going to get to the promised land, okay? And then the Bible talks about there's a people who, it says, they turn back in the day of battle. Or they shrink back, okay? And then we talked about how there's kind of this subtle way that we can slow, just kind of hang out around here, okay? And we call that drifting, okay? And drifting is not turning your back on God, but drift is something that happens naturally if you don't do anything, okay? So we live the Christian life by the grace of God, but it takes effort by the grace of God, okay? So we talked about how drift happens, remember, is that if you're in a boat in the middle of the ocean and you want to go north, okay? But let's say that there's a current that goes this way, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're naturally going to start drifting northeast, mm-hmm. okay? And so you have to adjust, okay? And so it's important that, and so we talked about how it's very, very important to live every season fully, right? And that's why it's important, because we want to be people who don't just drift, mm-hmm. okay? We want to live fully and get to the promised land, okay? So when Caleb says, "Yet I wholly follow the Lord," he said it right here. When people began to drift, when people began to turn back, he said, "Yet, even though others are doing that, even though it's not easy, I am going to wholly follow the Lord." Okay. And we're not going to go into it, but he said this amazing thing that at the age of 85, he was just as strong as he was when he was at 40. And we talked about how did he do that. Okay. That's on the recording if you want to listen to that. This week, I realized last time we went through this pretty fast, but I want to go in depth into this. So what was actually different about Caleb? And it says that, see, what had happened is that 12 people went over, right? And they looked at the land, and they came back, and they reported what had happened, right? And only Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it." And 10 of the spies said, no, it's too hard, okay? So what was different in Caleb that enabled him to bring Moses the word as it was in his heart? Whereas the other ones, their hearts melted. Not only did their hearts melt, they caused the rest of the congregation to melt their hearts, okay? And so it's interesting that Joshua 14, verses 7 through 8, it talks about the heart. And so I want to go over that real quick. So first of all, I want to talk about understanding our heart in light of the cross. Okay? So this is not a precise drawing. Okay? It's just a way to illustrate some concepts, okay? So I just think of the heart as a set of circles, right? And so in here, you may have, we have our wills, right? We have our feelings. We have our thoughts, okay? Every human has a heart, okay? And our hearts, what's in our heart dictates our actions. We actually live from the inside out, okay? And so the thing is that our feelings and our thoughts and our will, these are all determined by our history, right? It could be a combination of genetic factors as well as history, as well as cultural factors and so on, okay? So we all come, but what we believe as Christians is that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, you become a new creation, okay? And so prior to this, Okay, let's just talk about the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, the way the Old Covenant works is that you have the law, right? So you have, you know what to do, what's right and what's wrong, okay? And what you do is you try to live according, you try to do your best to live according to the law, right? The New Covenant is very different. So the Old Covenant is kind of, you live from the outside in. You live with respect to what's right and wrong on the outside. What the New Covenant does is that it says, God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, okay? And so we call this the new creation or the new self, new generation. So I'm going to just say that this part in us is born again, okay, this new self. This new center, okay? And so, for example, Ephesians 3 talks about this, is that it says, Paul prays that God will strengthen you in your inner being, right? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, okay? And what the new covenant allows us to do is to live from this new center, right? According to the Spirit, according to the Word of God, okay? We were no longer enslaved to the flesh, the old self, okay? It's disempowered by Christ, and we're born again, and we have this new self and this new center. And so here's the thing, is that with the old covenant, okay, if you feel like your old self is really damaged, right, or you come from a really tough background, okay, or then you have no hope because you're trying to do your best, but you find that you cannot, okay? But with the new covenant, every one of us has hope, okay? Because what the new covenant tells us is that God is going to give you a new heart. You're going to live out of this new self, okay? And I'm going to go over this, how this can happen more. So this is just an understanding of the heart in light of the cross, okay? So we're not trying to live just out of our old self, our feelings and our thoughts, but there's a new center, okay, that feeds on the Word of God, that lives by the Word of God, that can live according to the Spirit. I want to next go to point number two, which is understanding your heart from a different perspective, okay? And this has to do with, and I put here, I believe in the notes, there's enemies, fears, and pain, okay? I'm just going to use an example to just kind of illustrate how the heart works, okay? So this is a true story, okay? And there's a very well-known pastor in America, okay? Now, I won't share his name, but it's public knowledge because he wrote this in a book. But his daughter became pregnant at the age of 13. Okay? And so so that's what happened. Okay, so the only actual thing that happened is that his daughter got pregnant at the age of 13. And so she told him and his wife, and they cried and they wept, okay? But after that, some things started to happen in his heart, okay? And so the first thing that happened is that, and he calls it the enemy of his soul, he started feeling accused. A lot of accusation came upon him, said, what kind of a dad are you, right? If you can't even keep your daughter safe, right? Like, if you have lost touch with your daughter and your at the age of 13, very, very young, okay? And what kind of a pastor are you? What kind of a Christian are you? You can see that it's coming, right? And so just thought after thought after thought, okay? And then not only that, because he's a nationally known pastor, what are people going to think? What's the media going to do when they find out, right? So these are accusations and thoughts and feelings, and he was overwhelmed. He says he was crushed by them, okay? And then he started to keep, he was thinking, and he was like, what if my daughter commits suicide because she can't handle the shame, right? And so, and it was a real fear, right? He didn't know what she might do. She's 13, very, very fragile, right? I mean, if you know a 13-year-old girl, I mean, that's a lot to take. Okay, especially for the daughter of a nationally known pastor, right? And so every night he's thinking, what if she does it while we're sleeping, okay? And so these fears were very real, okay? And I'm just sharing this story because it really illustrates how the human heart works. So like I said, what actually happened in reality is that she got pregnant. But then when that happened, there's all this thing that's going on internally, okay? I don't know if you guys can relate to that. There might be certain things that happen in our lives. It's like we just move on, but there are certain things that hit us hard, and it causes things to go on in our heart that we know it's there, but we might not be able to put our finger on it, okay? But it's very important to understand that, okay? Because what happened with at this point with Caleb and Joshua and the 12 spies is that they all saw the same thing. They all went over the hill for 40 days. They spied out the land. They saw that the people there were stronger, taller, that they had weapons, okay? But in 10 of them, these feelings and thought, they went out of control and their hearts melted. Whereas Joshua and Caleb, they were able to somehow hold on to the word of God or the light of God. And they were like, no, we can do it. God has promised us, okay? Not only that, this going back to this pastor, his mother had died recently, okay? And so he was already grieving, and it just all commingled, and he was lost, okay? So what do we do, okay, when we're in situations like this? Right? What do we do when something happens in life and that causes our hearts to melt, okay? And it's hard on to hold on to the word of God. So if someone told him, you know what, Pastor, you know what it says in Romans 8? You know, God works all things for good. Right? He would have just slapped that guy. He'd be like, yeah. Those are like, it doesn't work, right? Like, just telling someone a Bible verse like that doesn't speak to their situation, yeah? And I think you would also agree that it doesn't work for you as well. Okay, there's something deeper and better that God has for us. And so, even though it doesn't say how Caleb was able to do that, okay, I'm going to just draw from another passage in Scripture, okay? And so I want to just share an example of someone who had reason to have their hearts melt, but yet in the end was able to receive the Word of God, okay? So we're going to look at the life of, the story of Mary in Luke 1, okay? But the key, and this is the key that I want to share with you, is that, and I think I have it in point number 3. The key is that what we want to do is there's 3 parts to it. There's one is called surfacing the questions of the heart. You guys see that in the notes? Yeah? Mm-hmm. The second thing is directing them to God. And then number 3 is receiving his answers. Okay? So surfacing your feelings, surfacing the questions of the heart, directing them to God and receiving answers. What the 10 spies did, okay? And so with this, there's kind of two opposite ways, equal and oppositely, and equally wrong ways to go about it, okay? So one is when you just get consumed by the questions of the heart or the feelings of the heart. And that's what happened to the 10 spies, is they saw the enemies, they saw that they were larger, taller, fortified with weapons, and they let their feelings go out of control. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago, that as Christians, we don't want to live by feelings, right? We do not rely on feelings, okay? But they let it go out of control. The other thing, and sometimes Christians can fall into this, is to ignore those questions in the heart. Okay? And I'm going to call this being religious in the wrong way. Okay? And what we can do sometimes is that we just try to do the right thing. Okay? And trying to do the right thing is a good thing to do. Okay? But if you don't listen to your heart, if you don't raise the questions in your heart and let them come out, okay, what can happen is you become divorced from your heart, from your human heart, okay? And so you're just doing the right thing over and over and over, but in the meantime, there's all these questions and fears and doubts that are building up in your heart that are not addressed, okay? I believe we have a God that is able to address those things, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I've known lots of people who operate that way, you know, but they're completely cut off from their heart. And when there's a big shaking, they're not able to withstand it. Okay? And so, here's the thing is that God is always with us, and He's sovereign over our lives. And the things that we run into and the things that come up in our hearts, they may be coming up for a reason, because God wants to address those, okay? And a few months ago, I shared this, but it says, you know, in Isaiah 40, right, it talks about the valleys and the mountains and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in those places, okay? And what we want to do is we want to be people, see, we have valleys in our hearts, and we have mountains in our hearts, okay? The valleys are kind of the dark places, the depressed, the sad places. The mountains are the prideful places, right? And what we want to do is we can't pretend that they're not there, okay? But we have to learn to surface them to God, direct them to God, so that He can fill it with His glory, okay? So I'll just give you an example. Something that I realize that I have to do is that I need to take little pet peeves and little things that irritate me, little things that annoy me, I have to take that to God, okay? I'm talking about this in the context of my family, okay? So there are certain things that they do, it's not sin, they're not sinning, but it's things that they do that like annoy me. Do you guys have that?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
Okay? Unless you spend your life by yourself, right? Whether it's at work or at home, okay? It could be little things that they annoy you. But then when you think about it, when you step back objectively, actually it's not sin, it's just your preference. So then you can be like, man, I should be better than that. Let me just get over that. But it doesn't work like that, okay? It has a way of accumulating, okay? And then over time, it'll negatively affect your relationship, okay? And so what I have to do is I have to be like, God, I am annoyed about that. It's silly because when I look at it, it's not a sin. It's just my preference, or it's just my pride. It's my problem, but I can't get rid of it on my own, Okay, so I have to surface it to God. Okay, I have to say, you know, this is a stupid thing, but it bothers me. It bothers me a lot. Okay, and I have to pray about it, and only then am I able to actually be patient. Okay, I can't just say I should be better than that. I should be a better Christian than that, and just try to be patient. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to let God minister to me in such a way that He overshadows my annoyances, my pet peeves, and He ministers the patience to me, okay? And the way I do this, guys, is that I have a journal, okay? And we're going to talk about this, is that each of us needs to find a practice or a habit of being able to surface these things in our hearts and direct them to God and allow God to speak to us and overshadow them, okay? And what I do is I get in my journal in the morning. I have a quiet time with the Lord, and I'll just write it down. I say, I am really annoyed by this. I know it's pathetic, but I am. And I have to seek the Lord, and I have to ask for His help. Okay? It's a very simple thing, but I'm slowly turning my heart to Him so He can fill it. Okay? Let's turn to Luke 1, 26 through 36, okay? And we'll see this example of how what Mary did, okay? Since it's Christmas season, I think this is a fitting word. So Luke 1, verse 26 through 38, okay? And what I want you to look for, guys, as I'm reading this, is see how Mary surfaces the questions in her heart, directs them towards God, and how God answers, okay? So, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Okay? And this angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So let's stop right there, okay? So the Lord comes, okay? And it says that Mary was greatly troubled, okay? Can you see that? And then it says that she tried to discern, she tried to understand, what is God doing? What is God saying to me in this situation? Okay? And I love this phrase, she was greatly troubled. Okay? And we have to be good. Okay? Part of the Christian life is we're learning to be more and more aware of God. But as we become more and more aware of God, God will also give us a greater self-awareness so that we will know, we'll be able to detect when we're greatly troubled, okay? We have to be able to figure that out because that's where God wants to fill your heart, that greatly troubled spot, okay? We don't want to ignore that. We want to be like, oh, I feel troubled about this. So Mary was troubled. She didn't understand, so we might be confused. She was confused. You could say she was confused. She didn't know. But then it says that she wasn't like, God, I don't understand. Screw this. You know? No, she said, it says she tried to discern. So she's beginning to open her heart to God. Okay? I'll just share this real quick. Is that sometimes, let's say the shape of our heart is round. Okay? But sometimes what God wants to do is a rectangle. Okay? And the rectangle can't fit in the heart, in the round circle, right? Does that make sense? Sometimes, like, we wish we could understand what God is doing, but what God is doing will not fit in the structure of our heart as it currently is. Yeah? We could be hard-headed, we could be hard-hearted, whatever. It doesn't fit. And so what God has to do is He has to loosen it up, okay? And so when we're greatly troubled, it's like it's the beginning of loosening it up. And when we try to understand, when we humble ourselves, it loosens it up even more. So let's keep going. So it says, she tried to understand what sort of reading this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Okay? So, because she, see, there's like a back and forth between Mary and God. Yeah? And that's the kind of relationship we want to get into with God is, we're like, "God, I don't understand, but I'm turning to you. I'm greatly troubled." Okay? And so the angel tells her more. And then I love verse 34. It says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?'" Okay? And do you see, this is where she really surfaces the questions in her heart. Yeah? How can this happen, God? Since I'm just a virgin, right? And so, some of us might be thinking, "God, how can I become useful in your kingdom?" I used to wonder that a lot. Like, how will I ever be anything? I don't know if you guys ever had those questions, okay? Or I remember when I was in college, one day I was like, "How will I ever get married?" Okay? Because I really like this girl, Amanda, okay? But we weren't even talking to each other. I said, I went to the roof of my apartment, I said, "God, how is this gonna happen? Because I'm gonna be leaving school in 4 months. My time is running out and we're not even close. We're not even talking. So how will this be?" Okay? But when I think back, it's like, wow, God gave me the grace to surface that and to turn to him. Okay? He didn't give me an answer right away. Okay? But I was turning. So I love this because she's like, how? She's asking good questions. We can ask God, how will that happen, God? Okay? I remember Gideon asked, "Why is this happening?" You guys remember that in Judges 6? He said, "Why is this happening?" And Moses said, "Who am I to do this?" Okay? All these people, they surface their insecurities, their fears, whatever it is, guys. Okay? You surface it to God. And then verse 35, "And the angel answered her." Do you guys see that? That's the kind of God we have, is like we ask how, and he gives us an answer. He speaks to us, okay? And then there's something really awesome in this answer. It says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." There's a way, guys, his answer overshadows us. Okay? There's a way, and I know this might not make sense, but see, when we become Christian, all we have is our past, right? And our culture, and our background, our history. But there's a way, because we're a new creation, the Word of God can come in, okay? And we might have valleys here, but this Word of God can go through our hearts, radiate up through our hearts, cover, overshadow, and change those valleys and those mountains. Mm-hmm. It has that power. So when I say the answer, I don't want you guys to think of it as like a thought. Okay? It's more than that. It's something that actually changes your life. Okay? If you let it. If you receive it, if you're willing to Let your heart be changed. Okay? Turn, give, admit your valleys and your mountains. That word, that thing that God is doing will overshadow it. That's how your heart gets changed. Okay? And that is how one of the commandments, the first commandment says, we are to love God with all our heart. Mm-hmm. Right? We can't love Him with all our heart until we learn to do this. Okay? We don't just love Him with this tiny slice of our heart that is clean and pure. Okay? Ignoring the 90%, we love Him with all of them. Okay? But we're able to love Him with all of our heart when we give Him our ugly parts, our fears, our insecurities, and so forth. And then he says, verse 36, behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Okay? So God says, look, it's also happening in Elizabeth. It's not just happening in you. It's actually happening in Elizabeth. And God gives her a revelation of Himself. He's a God with whom nothing is impossible. Okay. And then we end with verse 38. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Okay. And at a certain point, Mary surrendered to God, to His word. He said, let it be to me according to what you said. Yeah. She was able to submit to that. She was able to own that. She was able to receive that, but it took wrestling with that. Okay? She wasn't just a good Christian girl and said, okay, I'll take that and believe that. No, she let all her questions come out, and she was able to receive that, okay? And so we're going to break up into small groups now. And there's three questions. The first one is a fill in the blank. And this is just to get you guys talking in the small group. So it says, I am someone who is blank at surfacing the questions of my heart. Okay? So you might say, I am someone who is good at doing this. Or you might say, I am someone who is not so good. Or whatever. Fill in the blank, okay? I get this because I have two children, and they're opposites. One is really in touch with what's going on in the heart, and one, you have to really probe to get at it, okay? But we don't have to be extreme, but God gives us a good self-awareness of our heart, okay? Number two, okay, how can I begin or continue the habit or practice of surfacing, then directing the questions of my heart to God? All right? So you might want to share what you do, and we can learn from one another. Okay? And we can begin to do that. And then number three is, what must I do to allow God's answers to overshadow my questions?